From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Tuesday, December 6, 2016. I'm Philip Grant. William J. Kimball is reporting in the Daily Freeman that the town of Ulster has asked the State Department of Transportation if a speed limit reduction is warranted on part of Route 32. The portion of the road in question is the 55-mile-an-hour stretch between Jim Glass Corvette and the turnoff for the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency just south of Route 199. Route 32 is known as Flatbush Road in Ulster. The State Department of Transportation has authority over its speed limit. A Flatbush Road resident told the Ulster Town Board at a recent meeting that it was difficult to enter the road from her driveway. She said development in the area during the past 48 years has increased traffic flows, and the problem is compounded by poor lines of sight where vehicles drive the fastest. And she said there is a problem with excessive speed. She said, and I quote, 2 years ago, someone lost control, exceeded the speed limit, and lost it, ending up flipping over into my neighbor's yard. Took out her camper and her well house, end quote. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Tim O'Brien is reporting in the Times Union that the New York State Association of Chiefs of Police has called for Uber, Lyft, and similar applications to be approved for upstate New York in an effort to reduce drunken driving. Cheektowaga Police Chief David Zack wrote in a letter on Monday, December the 5th, to Governor Andrew M. Cuomo, citing statistics on impaired driving and highway fatalities. He said Uber and other ride-sharing businesses could help reduce those numbers. Zack said in an interview with the paper, and I quote, "It is a relatively simple, painless solution," end quote. Zack said communities located upstate need ride-sharing more than New York City, where those services can legally operate. Upstate New York accounts for 51% of all licensed drivers in New York State, but 65% of all arrests for impaired or drunken driving. You can read that full story in the Times Union. Matthew Hamilton is reporting at Capitol Confidential that Governor Andrew M. Cuomo's office announced on Monday, December the 5th, the state will place 24 emergency response trailers at key locations along the state's crude oil transportation corridor, including one in Albany and four others in the Capital Region. The trailers will be equipped with absorbent materials, booms, and other tools used to control and contain crude oil and petroleum spills. They will be managed by the State Department of Environmental Conservation and County Emergency Management Departments. One of these trailers will be placed in each of the 21 crude-by-rail mainline counties, including Albany, Greene, Montgomery, and Schenectady counties. DEC Commissioner Basil Sego said in a statement, and I quote, "Strategically locating these new spill response trailers along the state's crude oil corridor will protect our communities and strengthen New York's spill response capabilities," end quote. You can read that full story at Capital Confidential, a Times Union blog. Amelia Teasdale is reporting in the Columbia paper that four members of the Chatham Zoning Board of Appeals have resigned, leaving only two members left on the seven-person board. ZBA members Jeffrey Lick, Robert Leary, Mitchell Kosrova, and J.P. Hinkle have now submitted letters of resignation to the Chatham Town Board. As a cost-saving measure, the Town Board cut salaries of ZBA and Planning Board members in the 2017 budget. Each member of those two boards currently receives $2,655 a year. The 2017 budget reduced that compensation to $75 per meeting for a total of $900 a year for members, based on 12 meetings per year. The 2017 budget allocates funds for only six ZBA members instead of the current seven. The Town Board intends to eventually reduce the size of the ZBA to five members. The Planning Board will remain a seven-member board. The Town Board also changed the status of the town historian position from paid to volunteer. Town Board member Henry Schwartz said the current town historian would not be returning as a volunteer because the board made that change without consulting her. Schwartz said, and I quote, "She was highly insulted," end quote. The town will advertise the open position on both the ZBA and Planning Board and also seek candidates for a volunteer town historian. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. The Daily Freeman is reporting that the State Department of Environmental Conservation is looking for public comment on proposed changes to various wildlife regulations. The changes are posted on the DEC website at dec.ny.gov. The agency is recommending a prohibition on feeding wild white-tailed deer and the elimination of a special permit for hunting and trapping bobcats in specific parts of the state. The DEC is also considering defining conditions for issuing permits for pesticides to kill deer ticks downstate and strengthening measures to protect deer from chronic wasting disease. Comments will be accepted until December 23rd. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. On Sunday, December the 4th, the New York Times published the first part of a series of stories that look at racial bias in the state's prison and parole system. Times reporters examined nearly 60,000 disciplinary cases and reviewed individuals and determined that racism is a fact of life in upstate prisons. The environment is especially hostile to people of color in the maximum security penitentiaries of Attica, Clinton, and Great Meadow, all located in rural areas where the community population is almost entirely white and nearly every corrections officer is white as well. The Times found that in state prisons, blacks and Latinos were disciplined at a higher rate than whites, in some cases twice as often. They were also sent to solitary confinement more frequently and for longer periods of time. The disparities were often greatest when it came to infractions that allowed corrections officers more discretion, like disobeying a direct order. In these cases, the officer has a high degree of latitude to determine if a rule has been broken and does not need to produce physical evidence in support of their decision. At present, the Times reported, blacks make up 14% of the state population, but almost 50% of the state prison population. The State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision was presented with the Times finding. It responded, saying that while there were racial issues in any large organization, these were not a factor and had little impact on the system's disciplinary process. The department provided no data to contradict the paper's findings. You can read that full story in the New York Times. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a mostly sunny day for today with the temperature high near 41 degrees. For Tuesday night, rain and snow is likely. It will become all snow after 9 p.m. The snow will continue overnight. An accumulation of 1 inch or more over the higher elevations is possible. The temperature low for Tuesday night will be about 33 degrees. The forecast for the next 2 days, on Wednesday, a chance of rain and snow before noon, then a slight chance of rain showers between noon and 3 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 41 degrees. On Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 28. And on Thursday, a slight chance of snow showers before 1 p.m., mixing with rain through the afternoon, then turning back into snow after 4 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 39 degrees. Thursday night, a chance of snow showers, partly cloudy with a low around 25. The sun rose this morning at 7:10 a.m., and the sun will set at 4:23 p.m. That will provide us with 9 hours and 12 minutes of daylight, about a minute less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Tuesday, the 6th day of December 2016. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.